This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
Necessary Roughness with 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, the NFL Combine is in the books. TJ, I know you didn't go. I went. There is this trend right now, and we'll talk about different guys that we, you know, showed out well. Some didn't show up, but there's this trend right now of guys not working out or picking and choosing what it is that they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
It's to me, it's a little bit frustrating. Caleb Williams showed up, and basically all he did was the interview. Something you could do on Zoom, something they could do at Pro Day. He didn't do any of the workouts. He didn't do it. He didn't throw. He didn't even do any of the medicals. What the hell?
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of hit on it last week a little bit, where a lot of these top guys, you only have things to lose. You know, what does Caleb Williams have to gain by going and working out? What does Marvin Harrison Jr. have to gain by going and running a 4.3, like, you know what I mean? You already know those guys are freaks. So I'm with you, though. I think it's starting to become a little bit of a waste of time for some people. The thing that I don't like, and I was in the same boat, is if you're going to have 300 guys and only 100 of them work out, you know, what about the little school guys that want to go work out to try to get their name out there to maybe improve their draft stock or get their name on the board at least, right? Get their name out there. I think, look, Caleb Williams, he's going to be a high pick, right? Probably going to be the number one pick. So I understand him not wanting to go through all the medicals with every different team, right? And here's part of it too. I think he's saying the teams that we're going to visit, probably the top three teams, we're going to give them medicals, right? Because I think a problem is if you give medicals to 20 teams or all 32 teams, what's going to start happening the next week or two? Teams are going to start leaking stuff, right? Oh, Caleb Williams, oh, didn't like his medical, oh, red flag, right? And then you're going to start getting some of those bad stories coming out, the red flag stories, which a lot of times is not true bullshit, gamesmanship, whatever you want to call it. I think this might be the player's way and maybe the agent's way of controlling the story, right? And a guy like Marvin Harrison, who showed up and did nothing, you know, he didn't even do the interview. It's kind of a bummer to see because you just that's how the process goes, and you want to understand a little bit more about these guys. But same time, you can't really blame them because then you look at some other guys being asked questions about birds, and you know, Caleb Williams, the first question was like, "Oh, are you scared to work out? Are you scared to compete?" So it's like I understand guys like that not wanting to go through that. The high end guys, you know what I mean? But I think a lot of the mid end guys, the lower tier guys, lose out a lot on this combine process because so much attention is paid to the top guys that in the end don't really end up doing anything anyways.
That's where I don't have a problem. It annoys me more than anything that these guys don't participate in the combine in everything. And if you're going to opt out of a majority of it, and I don't know where, when I say majority, is that, hey, you're not going to do interviews. Like Marvin Harrison, like what did he do? Did he just walk around?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he met with a couple teams, yeah. but he was just there.
You're not going to do interviews and you're not going to do the workouts. You're not going to do medicals. And maybe he did the medicals. I don't know. The one that was obviously talked about the most was Caleb Williams not doing the medicals. But if you're not going to participate, and especially if you're a guy, so all of these top end guys are for the most part coming from programs like USC, Ohio State,
yeah.
Notre Dame, you know, Michigan, LSU, Alabama, you know they're going to have their own pro days. So if you're going to wait to do all of this work at your pro days, or if you're going to have a private workout that you're going to invite all of the NFL teams to, then don't take up a spot.
Yeah.
That's the problem that I have. And I've kind of always had this issue with the top 100 guys that are either, you know, at the combine or will be taken in the draft. Like, there's not really going to – the order may be different, but there's no secret as to who those top 100 guys are going to be.
Okay? Right.
You know, 90 through 100 and 100 through 110, interchangeable. But for all of those guys, like you mentioned, like yourself, that didn't get a chance to go to the combine, that want to try and get their name in front of a general manager to be able to make a statement, to be able to do something instead of having to go from – Eastern Michigan and show up at Michigan's pro day where it's not going to be your location anyway, but you've got to be able to get your name in front of a GM, get your face, shake a hand. Like, those are the guys, that next 100 guys instead of the top 100 should be the ones that are at the combine.
Yeah.
Because you have all of this film on the top guys.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I think, look, pro days have definitely come a long way too.
Yes.
You know, even when I was coming out of college in 2009, pro days were still just kind of getting ramped
Eastern have
up.
Their own pro
yeah.
day.
Yeah, we did. Okay. But not like you said. I mean, there a lot of years before that, guys were asking, hey, can I go be a part of Michigan's? Can I go be a part of Michigan State's, right? Because maybe Eastern didn't have an enough seniors that year to actually host one. My year we actually did have a pro day, and since I didn't go to the combine, actually a lot of people showed up. So yeah. Probably even helped me at the time, get more individual attention, right? Instead of being one of those guys at the combine. But I'm with you. And it's just, you know, the combine, look, we kind of mentioned it last week. We don't put a ton of stock into it. I think even Dan Campbell said, hey, look, the most interesting part about this is the interviews. You know, I want to get a guy in front of a chalkboard and draw up some plays and understand what kind of football mind he is and understand how bad these guys want to succeed at football, right? What's your backup plan? I don't have a backup plan. Okay, that means this guy's going to work his ass off, right? Yeah. To come in and be a part of this team. So I didn't really get much out of the weekend.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
A couple storylines, obviously. I want to start with this one. I had a question for you, and I didn't prep you on this. But I know you know the list. I know you're very familiar with the team. Michigan had sent, I think, 18 players to the combine, which was an all-time record. I'm looking at the list. Obviously, a lot of great names there. And a couple guys had a really good weekend at the combine, too. But if you could pick one of those Michigan guys out of those 18, who do you think would make the biggest impact on the Detroit Lions? If you could pick one. We obviously know the big ones, J.J. McCarthy and Roman Wilson, Mikey Samersil, a bunch of other guys. 18 of these guys, John. And it was just a question that popped in my mind. Kind of a little local tie here, since we've got so many Michigan guys that are going to be draft eligible this year. And I kind of want to throw that question at you, since you're around the team. You do everything for
Michigan. So I'm going to give you one on each side of the ball.
Yeah, I like that.
Offensive line-wise, I think Zach Sitter, especially if you're going to move on from Jonah Jackson, if you're not willing to pay him top guard money, which there's going to be some big dollars spent on guards this year, I think Zach Sitter could come in and be that guard for you. I think he's quality. His football IQ is through the roof. He would fit this locker room. He'd fit that offensive line. And a lot of the same concepts that the Lions use in the run game and even in pass protection. They used at Michigan. And so I think it would be a seamless plug-and-play type of guy for Zach Sitter. And his injury, they're coming off that leg injury, it didn't have anything to do with his knee, nothing to do with his ankle.
Yeah.
And so they shoved a
break, clean repair.
Yeah, iron bar right down the middle of his bone. and you know, if he's not going to break it again, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, that's and that kind of fits the mold a little bit of Brad Holmes, right? We saw – last year with Hendon Hooker, or getting the injured guys that maybe fall a little bit that you still think have high value. I don't know. Zach Sitter was obviously, like you mentioned, you know, kind of before the show, was one of the top guys out of that Michigan group, probably the highest regarded offensive lineman, at least, out of the guys that they're sending. I don't know if he was maybe a second round pick that maybe falls to the third, maybe early fourth with the injury. I'm not sure, but if that does,
well, you got two thirds.
That could definitely, then that could fit Brad Holmes' mold of kind of, you know, that red shirt year of getting the injured guys and, you know, that you obviously think very highly of.
Yeah. On defense, Mikey Samersil. I think that he is a type of player. And there was a mock last week. I think it was a CBS mock that came out and actually had him mocked to the Lions at 29. That might be a little bit high for him, but I will say this. As the season went on, and I had a chance to talk to a few GMs and a lot of scouts that came through Michigan football, they were very high on Mikey Samersil, knowing that, hey, he was a wide receiver in his first couple of years, made the shift, and even in his first year, 2 years ago, as a defensive back, made impactful plays, was disciplined. And then you put on that another year of experience, another year of, hey, what do I need to continue to improve upon? He did all of those things. And he's another guy that I think just fits really well into this Aaron Glenn, Brad Holmes culture, but especially Aaron Glenn's defense, a guy that can be used in multiple ways.
Yeah.
He can be a cover corner. Now, is he an elite number one cover corner? I wouldn't put that in that category. But when you look at how they use Brian Branch, Ife Melifonwu, like they use him in creative ways in a lot of different ways. And at Michigan, he was used as a nickel, as a number one corner. He was used as a blitzing corner. Like there's a lot of things that he could do that I think would be a would be really nice for this defense.
Yeah. Can I give you one? And I just want your kind of feedback on this. I'm starting to like kind of fall in love with Roman Wilson a little bit. Like, I guess I didn't realize how much speed that he had when he played at Michigan. Obviously, we know that they were a running attack and a power football team. Roman Wilson's a guy that kind of starting to remind me a little bit of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Kind of that same stature, that kind of shorter, stockier guy that's quick twitch. Probably really good on the short intermediate routes. I don't know if he's going to be a deep threat. Per se, he's not going to just be your number one go route X receiver. But I think a guy like that might fit this offense well too, based off of what we know that Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell want to do on offense, which is move the chains, take your chunks, find guys that can get open. We saw kind of the Rams, right? Kind of mold Cooper Kupp, and they got Puka Nacua, two very similar. I'm not a big fan of having two very similar receivers. I think you need different attributes, but I look at a guy like Roman Wilson, I'd say like, man, like he's got some speed. He's got some hands too. I think he's got some toughness. I just wanted your feedback because obviously you've been on the inside. You've been, probably been around the kid for a couple years now. What do you think any impact he would have if the Lions chose to go that direction?
He's all those things. But he's very much, and I cautiously say this, in style, not necessarily in terms of what I think he could be at the next level. He's very much like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Maybe a little bit more speed to be able to take the top off of defense, but you have Jameson Williams there, which, you know, we heard at the combine that, you know, Dan expects him to be in that starting role next year. And I would love to have Roman Wilson be a part of that room. I think he is reliable. I think he runs really good routes. I just don't know how different he is than Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to get paid.
Yeah.
They're about to spend a lot of money on that room. And, you know, so maybe that does provide the opportunity to bring in a guy like Roman Wilson that can be, you know, obviously you draft him in the second, third round. It's probably where he's going to go. You're not going to be paying him a lot. Brings the average, you know, value in that room way down. The problem is, you know, unless Jameson Williams steps up, and I know you've got guys like Laporta, but who's your 50-50 receiver? Who's the guy that you want going up and getting a ball, whether it's over the middle, it's a 50-50 ball that you're just throwing up saying, hey, we've got to throw one up. Like, he doesn't bring you any size.
I'm kind of with you on that, but in reality, the Lions really haven't had that guy for a couple of years now. You know what I mean?
That's not
really
nice what
it would one. Be nice to have one. Yeah, but I think we've seen that they can function without one, right? And I just kind of go back to the Roman Wilson thing, and I'm glad you kind of confirmed my points that I'm not expecting him to come in and be an Amon-Ra guy from day one,
right.
But you see some attributes with the quickness. And we all know, Coach even mentioned it too. Everybody mentions it. Hey, what if we go get a guy and he goes down or he's unavailable? We know how important Amon-Ra is to this offense, right? It's a completely different team when he's not on the field. And luckily, we didn't have to see that last year. We saw it a little bit the year before. But if anything ever does happen to Amon-Ra St. Brown, right, I think it'd be better to have a guy that can step in and at least have the same abilities that he does, since we know that's such a high focal point of this offense. That's why I'm just kind of talking myself into Roman Wilson maybe being that guy. And look, I'm not a Daniel Jeremiah or Ian Rappaport. I don't have a big board. I don't know where these guys are going to fall. But if you look at a guy like that in the second, or like you said, maybe he drops to the third, you use one of your third round picks on a guy like that can come and at least give you a little bit of comfort behind Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, it'll be interesting storyline to follow up until the draft. But you kind of mentioned at the end of your when you were talking about Mikey Samrasil there, the corner position. Another news coming out of the combine this week that the Lions are going to be in the market for a high end corner,
wow.
Which I think that means a number one corner. And obviously, if you're putting the pieces together and you're kind of you know, 2 + 2 = 4 here. Number one guy obviously has been L'Jarius Sneed. Now the Chiefs have said they're probably going to plan on tagging him. I think they've given him permission to seek a trade, which probably is smart from the Chiefs standpoint that you want to get something in return for a guy like that. And even if it's a two, so be it. Right. Because I think the best you can do compensatory is if you lose him, it would be a three. Right. So at least you can move up one round in the draft, but how serious do you think this report is that you know, when we hear the Lions are going to be in the market for a high-end corner. There's not a ton of them out on the market.
Right.
Do you think that's a serious report? Do you think how much do you expect Brad Holmes and crew to really go try to address that number one position?
I expect them. I mean, Brad Holmes, at the beginning of last week, joined Jim Costa and I in the morning, and he said two things. He was asked, are you drafting best available for the draft? You know, best of it, not necessarily for need, but best available. And he said, yeah, that free agency is where you go to address your needs. Mm-hmm. The draft is, hey, you take the best available at that time. Now, there's a lot of different things that you could do in terms of, you know, you get to the fourth round, right? You know, how do you determine who's best available versus, you know, possible need and offensive line, defensive line? You know, you could make those numbers and those evaluations pretty much whatever you want. But at the top end, it's much more dramatic in regards to who are the best available at that time, who's the best on the board,
right?
And I think,
but it also comes down to need. You're not going to take a kicker just because he's a you know, yeah, I'm saying if you have a second round grade on a kicker, you're not going to take a kicker in the second round, yes, right? Yes. So there's a balance. Yes, yeah, there's a balance.
Let's not get carried away. But having said that, you know, they also talked about being able to draft, develop, and sign their own guys.
Yeah.
So you're trying to figure out, okay, well, what is Brad Holmes doing? You know, and nobody's really sitting there going, well, can't figure him out. You know, what the hell? They're just trying to, we're all trying to look at it and go, what is he planning on doing when free agency? The tampering period is going to start the 11th. The franchise tags, which they're going to place on Snead, and it may already be placed on by the time anybody's watching this. It's going to be interesting because he did say, if you've got a need, free agency is where you go to address it. So mm-hmm. Does that mean top end? And what does top end mean to Aaron Glenn, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes? Because L'Jarius Sneed, I mean, Jalen Johnson's probably the number one out there, but he's going to get tagged by Chicago. I don't think there's any chance he becomes available. Then you got L'Jarius Sneed, who's the next closest guy, tag, trade. And I think if you're able to get him for a second round pick and then sign him to somewhere 18 to 20 a year for, let's just say, 3 years. Would you be willing to do that?
I would be willing to do whatever it takes to get number one corner. All right. I don't care what the money looks like. It ain't my money.
And here's where it all kind of goes hand in hand, where you're trying to figure out with Brad Holmes, all right, you want to draft, develop, and sign.
Yeah.
All right, so who do we have available? Monroe St. Brown. We're going to talk about his contract here in just a little bit, but you want to be able to do that. Jared Goff, you want to be able to re-sign him. His contract is a little bit unique, where – I think the cap number is like right at 35 if they don't do anything. If they extend him, instead of, yeah, they're going to pay him more, but that cap number this year is going to go down, creating more cap space.
Yeah.
That's not the only need they have. They've got need for an edge rusher. They've got a need, and now I don't know, you know, do they want to go out and try and trade for L'Jarius Sneed and sign Danielle Hunter? What do you do about the offensive line position? So there's this mixture of, yeah, you want to be able to do that. How much are they going to be able to do, or what does it limit them in doing if they go, you know, trade and sign L'Jarius Sneed?
Yeah, well, I think based off of needs and Brad saying free agency, and if they make a trade around that time is to fill a need, I think it has to be for a corner, right? That's number one need, at least top three need. I know we had it kind of different orders when we talked about it last week. And edge rusher, you're right. I expect them to address those positions in free agency because it's incredibly hard. You have to get incredibly lucky to find a day one starting number one corner in the draft, right? Especially if you're picking 29, right? We're not saying you're not picking number two, like a Sauce Gardner type of guy, or number five, a Devin Witherspoon that you know is going to come and be your guy from day one. You have to be really lucky to find that guy. So in the draft, right? And I think you have to, on the same sense, you have to kind of be a little bit lucky to go find a dominant edge rusher in late in the first round or second round or the third round, right? It doesn't really happen year one. I think you're more likely to find a starting caliber offensive lineman in the draft, a guy that can come in, whether you decide to take him with pick 29 or one of the second round pick or one of the third round picks. I think you can find a guy at guard that can come in day one as a rookie and start on your offensive line, you have a better chance of doing that than you do finding a number one corner in the draft. So I think when it comes to them trying to acquire a number one corner, it has to come through free agency, or it has to come via trade, like a L'Jarius Sneed. Now, some other names that were being thrown around too. Look, Marshawn Lattimore was a guy that was thrown around. If I'm the Saints, I don't know why you would trade him. He's got 3 years left on his deal. He just restructured it. His cap is like under $2 million. It wouldn't make much sense unless they were completely trying to rebuild down there. I think that's just maybe some people connecting the dots and, oh, Aaron Glenn came from New Orleans, right? So who's the New Orleans guy? I don't think Marshawn Lattimore is going to be realistic. But there's a couple free agent guys that I would be interested in. One of them, Stephon Gilmore, who signed a one-year deal in Dallas, played awesome last year for them. I mean, he's up there in age. You're not going to give this guy a 3 or 4 year deal. Right. You might have to dish out another one, maybe 2 year deal. Say, hey, we'll give you one for 15 fully guaranteed, or maybe 2 for 30. Because we know, like you mentioned, they have a lot of cap space this year. They're going to have more depending on the extensions that they make. It would fit this team to go, I think, spend that money up front on a shorter term deal for some, maybe a couple veteran players that can step in. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but I look, Brad Holmes, man, look, he came with a lot of receipts in his postseason press conference. Right. The one thing I would say though, you better address that defensive backfield, right? Because that's the question that's going to be, hey, look, Brad, yes, you nailed it with Amon-Ra. You nailed it with Penei Sewell. Every pick you've made on offense has pretty much been the right spot on, right? You better get that defense right, though. You know what I mean? You better get that secondary right. And I think we would all agree you need to find another defensive lineman that can go out there and be a part of that rotation and take a little stress off Hutch, take a little stress off of Lee McNeil. Those are a couple things that I expect him to do in free agency period, which I think, opens up probably less than 2 weeks from now, right? I think we're going to have some stories to follow when
March
it comes
11
to what the Lions are trying to do.
Tampering. And then March 13 is
legal tampering.
Yeah, legal tampering.
This is the dumbest oxymoron. Legal tampering.
The league year starts March 13. Yeah. So that's
tampering has been going on for the last week. If people that aren't familiar with the combine, there's a reason why all the agents are there. Okay.
So there's a new wrinkle that has come out, because as we're talking about these franchise tags and L'Jarius Sneed, I think that would be my number one want is. They tag him, Lions trade for him, give him an extension, and now you've got your number one corner. Who knows what happens there? And Gilmore would be a great option, especially since his brother is here. You know, I don't know how much that would be a draw for him to come, want to play with his brother for a year.
I think it would help him too. Steven Nelson was really good in the preseason. We didn't see him at all in the regular season. He was on the practice squad, but he was kind of the guy that flashed a little bit. So that's, I kind of put that together as well, saying, hey, maybe he can bring his little brother up. I know that they're high on him. They had him around this team for a reason. So that's another part of it. I'm glad you brought that up.
Another guy that we thought was going to be tagged, but won't be, at least it's been reported that he's not going to be, is Christian Wilkins. He's not going to cost as much as a Chris Jones would cost, because he's not the player that Chris Jones is. What would you think if, and let's just say, hey, they go and they trade for Sneed, they give him a contract. Is Christian Wilkins still in play? Should he be in play?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you have to, like I said, you have to address both positions, secondary and defensive line. Now, we obviously know Chris Jones is the cream of the crop, right? Sure. If there was a report saying the Lions are going all in for a high-end defensive lineman, we would all think, oh, my God, Chris Jones or Danielle Hunter. I don't think you equate Christian Wilkins with that group. He's probably a tier below them. But, no, I do expect them to be in those conversations, you know, because you look at everything that Brad Holmes has kind of told us already, you know, kind of – without saying it, don't get your hopes up too high. Hey, look, we're going to try, but look, we're not going to overpay. We're going to try to do what we've been doing and stay on our path and keep our goal. But no, I definitely expect them to be in conversations with the top guys at their position of need, because that's what he told us free agency is for. You go into free agency to fill some needs. Defensive line, secondary, right? Now, if that means going after two high-end guys or one high-end guy in the back end and then maybe a middle-tier guy, we'll have probably some lists next week where we'll throw some names out of some of those guys. I don't know what that looks like, but I do expect them, And I think they know maybe their window opened up a little bit earlier than they thought it would, as far as I don't think they were before the season expecting to be in the NFC Championship game or a quarter away from being the Super Bowl. But I think you're kind of forced into that now. Okay. And we've kind of hit the fast forward button a little bit. Now's the time we need Let's go. Because you understand this, these windows don't stay open long. Even 2 years from now, this team's going to look completely different. So I do expect him to be in every conversation when it comes to those, especially those two areas of need, which comes to secondary and defensive line.
And I mean, this is an opportunity. We talk about windows, and most of the time when we use that term, we're talking about Super Bowl window. But the Lions have this opportunity, and whether it's L'Jarius Sneed, Christian Wilkins, Chris Jones, insert any free agent, they have this opportunity right now in terms of window of the salary cap, where they have this room. They can extend some guys, which will actually end up creating some more room, but it's going to be that short-term room. And you mentioned it, you about filling some of that with a guy like, you know, Stephen Gilmore, that can come in and be a corner. He's at the end of his career, but there's this window of about 2 years where they're going to have some cap flexibility.
Yeah,
who fits into that? And I'm curious your thoughts on whether it's Stephen Gilmore, as you've already said. Or it's like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, Penei Sewell is going to be coming up. Like, how do they allocate funds, and what does the contract extension for Amon-Ra St. Brown look like this year?
Well, we're hearing it's going to be probably $26 to $28 million range, which, look, man, that's the price you pay for having one of the best players in the NFL, right? We know Tyreek Hill, I think, sets the bar right now at that position with 30. Doesn't sound like Amon-Ra is going to get close. Well, not going to reach that number.
Right.
But if it looks like something like 27, 27 and a half a year, look, that's the price of, of doing your job well, finding, you know, stud players and finding all pro type guys. Yeah, you're going to have to pay. Yeah. And that's your motto, right? Now you got to go out there and pay the piper. So, we know how important Amon-Ra is to this team, right? We just do. I mean, he's kind of the cornerstone of that offense. He's the engine that kind of makes everything go, at least with Jared Goff. We know he's his safety valve. So I would have no issue, whatever that number looks like in that $26 to $28 million range, that's just the price you pay. And he's one of the best players, not only receivers, one of the best players in all the NFL. So I don't know what it depends. The timeline here is going to be important, though, right? A lot of teams choose to get extensions done before free agency starts so that they know exactly how much money they have.
Yeah.
The Lions are kind of taking the slow approach where maybe they want to hit free agency first, so then they can really try to figure out how they want to structure these extensions, right? Do we want to front load them? We have a ton of cap space. Let's say you go into free agency and you don't land some of the big fish that you have, and you're sitting there saying, oh, we got $60 million. Well, let's give Goff the extension, Amon-Ra the extension, and let's front load those to fill up some of that $60 million, right? Or do you go sign a couple guys, say, hey, we got L'Jarius Sneed, we got a Danielle Hunter. Now we know how to restructure these contracts with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff, where we're going to have low cap numbers for the first couple years, and then by the time that Danielle Hunter and L'Jarius Sneed, their numbers start to go down, these numbers start to come out. So you try to balance things out. So I think the timeline is going to be important here of when they get it done. Do they want to get these done before free agency, so you can go in and knowing, hey, we've got $70 million this year. Do we want to spend that on a couple long-term contracts, or do we want to try to get some guys, like I mentioned, the Stephon Gilmore, maybe on a 1 or 2 year deal and kind of front load those guys? That's going to be important to see. And I think, look, the Lions haven't been in this position in the last couple years with any high-end players, but we know their MO has kind of been, they don't have an issue going up to free agency and kind of testing the market out, right? We saw Alex Anzalone went all the way up to free agency, right? And then he came back and re-signed with Detroit. Same thing with John Kaminsky, you know, went all the way up to free agency. Okay, what's the market at? Okay, this is where we're comfortable. We'll give you this deal. He comes back, right? So I think the Lions' MO is kind of, especially when it comes to some of their own guys, let's go test where the market's at. And then if we feel comfortable with that number, then we'll make that offer, right? So you could see that with a guy like Jonah Jackson, right? That we don't know yet, right? Maybe they're thinking, hey, the market's going to be 10 to 12. You kind of mentioned it earlier. I think guards are going to get broke off this offseason because there's not a bunch of high-end tackles that are available. And teams are going to need offensive linemen, which I think 15, you're going to be looking, I think, even north of that. I think some of these high-end guys, you might be looking 16 to 18. So if you're the Lions saying, hey, we think Jonah's worth 12, and he goes out and all of a sudden he's got a deal for 15, 16, and you're saying, you know, maybe a little bit out of our price range, or maybe, you know, could be the opposite, right? Maybe his best offer is $10 million a year, right? You don't know, right? But I think that's something that the Lions, and it's a risky game, right? You could lose big, you could win big. You could go out there and say, hey, we think our guy's worth this. We could have got him at this number. Oh crap. Now we got to get him at we got to offer way more, right? It's a risk and reward, but I think that they've kind of shown that's at least their mode of operation when it comes to free agency, is to kind of let the market open up, see where they fit in, and then try to make some offers to get their guys back. They're not going to do that with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff, I don't think. I think they've got numbers in their head and they're saying we're going to re-sign these guys no matter what the market looks like. The only question is the timing. When do they do it? Before free agency, after free agency? They've got geniuses up there, nerds that are punching numbers and crunching numbers and doing all that stuff. That's their job. Mike Disner, that's his job up there to kind of crunch those numbers and fit everything in. But I do expect the Lions in a couple weeks to be, you know, kind of one of those hot teams that is interested in at least making one power play move, right? So far, coming out of the combine, it sounds like it's going to be for a corner. They're going to at least attempt that. And it should give us a whole lot to talk about heading into this offseason.
Well, free agency starts a week from Wednesday. Legal tampering will start next Monday, a week from today. So next week,
tampering. Yeah. It's like legal speeding. The speed limit 70, but you can go 90. It's legal. Speeding. Yeah, we'll only for these 2 days.
We'll bring you some names. We'll bring you some as we continue to hear more coming out of Allen Park and what's going on around the NFL. So make sure you like, subscribe, and let us know your thoughts right here on Necessary Roughness.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.